Alrighty, folks, we are live. Welcome, everybody. It is Tuesday, which means we are on the Speak Free Radio show. So we are live on four different platforms today. We're live on Twitter, Speak Free Radio, GTV, and Odyssey. Welcome, everybody. I see we've got quite a few people in the GTV and Odyssey chats already. Pissed Off Goy, Boomer Romans, Owie, Tanitris, 40 Ounce, and Mariner. Welcome, guys. Mariner, anyone know if Guido von List's fiction book Carnutum is available in English? I don't know. I've actually never heard of that book, although it does sound interesting, and I'm gonna look it up right now. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely gonna look into that. Okay, so Tuesday, it's the second stream of the 7-day marathon. We are live again on Speak Free Radio. Today, I'm going to do a call-in show. This is the first call-in show we've ever done. I'm gonna change the title of the stream to call-in show. Okay. So if you guys are interested in calling in, you want to ask a question, you want to make a point, something of the sort, all this can be done via Speak Free Radio. So you'll go to speakfreeradio.com. On speakfreeradio.com, you're going to see a section on the left side of the screen with a few tabs. You'll see schedule, call and chat, podcast, stream, about. Click on the call and chat tab. And at the very end of the call and chat tab, you're going to see my logo that says Logos Revealed. And you're just going to click on that, and it's going to bring you into my StreamYard. And you can come into the StreamYard and bring up any questions or points or anything like that that you have. Patriot, welcome, brother. Nice to see you, my friend. So today, again, just going to be more of a relaxed show. We have the call-ins going on. This is day two of the 7-day marathon. We're going to be live every single day this week. And a friendly reminder, if we fill this bar right here, we will do a 12-hour marathon next week. I don't know the day yet exactly, but we will certainly film one. I also wanted to mention in regards to the bar, as you can see, the bar is empty. It's not full still. I had problems figuring out. Let me just pull this up, make it a little larger for right now so you guys can see what I'm talking about. I was unable to fill this, get this to set up so that it would like remain for the week. So I took the amount that was contributed yesterday and I took it off of the overall total. And I'll do this every single day. So if the bar fills, let's say to here, then I'm going to work on that overall total. I'll just kind of cut that down, and the bar will be easier to fill each day. When the bar does hit its full succession, we will do a 12-hour marathon. I just am unable to set it for like a week-long schedule or anything like that. Yes, Owie. So yeah, if anybody would like to call in today, you are more than welcome to do so. And callers are available from any of the platforms. If you're watching on GTV, Twitter, Odyssey, or Speak Free Radio, you guys are more than welcome to call in. However, you have to do so through Speak Free Radio. That's the only outlet for you to actually find the link in order to try to call in. And again, this is on Speak Free Radio. Oddly, my StreamYard is saying that I have an unstable connection. So we'll see how that works. I don't know why it's saying that because I'm obviously streaming and my connection is fine. It's very odd. Okay, tonight I'm going to be recording my next Logos Academy video. I'll be recording that this evening. I don't think I'm gonna say what the topic is. I think I'm just gonna let you guys find out when you get there. I don't think I'm gonna say it yet. Well, it'll be uploaded tomorrow, so I'm going to record it tonight. I will edit it this evening, and then tomorrow I'll have it uploaded. Diamant, welcome, welcome. Yeah, that's a good idea. I should probably give the link. Here's the link on GTV and Twitter. Mariner already put that link on Odyssey, so if you guys would like to call in, all you have to do, yet again, one more time, I'll explain. You just click on the link, and then on the you'll come to speakfreeradio.com. There are gray tabs on the left side of the screen. You're going to see a tab that says call and chat, and you just click on that, and I will be the final box at the very end. It's got my logo on there. You click on that, and it'll bring you into my StreamYard, and then I'll pull you up and allow you to ask questions. And I can have, I think, up to 8 people in here at a time, something like that. So if we get a lot of questions, we can address all of them. I tested the functionality of this earlier today, so it should work okay. I can't say for certain, but it'll be worth a try once we get somebody in. We'll definitely try it out. I think it should work. I don't see why it wouldn't. Vril Builder, by the way, welcome. Welcome. Sorry, I just saw you in the chat. I don't have many topics set for today. Today is meant to be more of a relaxed show to allow people to kind of come in and contribute if they would like. And once we start getting call-ins, I'll allow anybody who calls in to kind of direct the topic of the show, and I'll use that as the, you know, stimulus for whatever kind of thing we're going to discuss throughout the day. So I think that's probably the easiest way to do that. I don't want to go into a monologue and then somebody comes in, they start up a conversation, and it like drags away from the monologue, and then I forget where I was at. So just for the sake of organization, I'm going to do it that way. Actually have a couple things on my schedule here to cross out. Okay. V Supremacist, welcome, brother. Welcome. How are you? Okay. Just a few little miniature announcements while we are waiting for some callers to come in. Tomorrow, I will be live at 4 p.m. Eastern, sticking on that same time schedule. However, tomorrow I'm going to be joined by Tonitris, and I will be joined by Euroweapon. We're going to have a three-way conversation. Actually, it looks like we have somebody in. Aquarius, can you hear me all right? Is the audio okay? I don't know if this is on my end. Let's see here. Hello, brother. Can you hear me all right?
I'm in here.
Oh, awesome. All right. Welcome. You're the first call-in we've got so far on the show. Welcome, brother.
Well, fantastic. I really enjoy your show. I'm on Gab with my business profile, but more or less just a kind of... Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Are you still able to hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Continue. If you have any kind of a question, you are we are live right now. Any question or concern, comment, anything, go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. So I'm curious where you think this is going to go. With what I'm seeing is that
are you getting a feedback? Is that what that is?
I'm getting, hold on a minute. oh my gosh. You know. I'm getting terrible feedback. Yeah.
interesting. What is the feedback? Is it because you have my stream tab still? Are you hearing like the stream go late, like a delay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe if you close my stream tab and continue the call, that might help.
All right. Is that better?
Yeah, you sound fine. You've sounded fine the whole time. I could just tell that you were definitely getting a lot of feedback in your ears.
All right, sorry to be such a drag on the show. Anyway, what I'm noticing and what I think is going to happen is that it seems like the Jews are going to do the whole Yeah.
It seems like you're still getting that feedback from the stream on a little bit of a delay. All right, he just dropped out. We're gonna see if he comes back. I think he has the stream still open, so it looks like he's getting the feedback of the stream coming late while he's actually on the call. So he's still hearing me talk on the call, and then I think he's hearing me again come in late through the delay. So hopefully we can get that fixed. Unruled, welcome, brother. Haven't seen you in a long time, my friend. How are you? Oh, yeah, I did not change the title on GTV yet. I changed it on Odyssey. I already had it set on Twitter, so let me change it one more time on GTV. Hopefully he can get figured out. It seems like he had an interesting question to ask. Let me change that title right now. Okay. All right, yeah, if you guys, when you call in, just one thing to make sure so that we don't have a feedback problem. When you guys call in, just make sure that you have the stream either muted or closed so that you're not hearing me both on StreamYard and on the
thank you
and
Logos
on
for
the
streams.
Feedback. I think that's what that is. Because it seemed like he was fine. He was having a thought, and then he was getting some kind of audio. I think that was my self on the actual on like the feedback on my stream. Honda Racer with a $20 investment. Thank you so much, brother. He says, thank you, Logos, for streams. Guys, can we get the Romans up for Honda Racer? Thank you, brother. Working towards that bar. Thank you very much, sir. Again, if we fill that bar up by the end of this week, we will be doing a 12-hour marathon stream next week. Big Phil, welcome. First-time chatter. Nice to see you. Hey, brother. How are you? Welcome back.
Oh, all right. So I think I got rid of the technical issues.
Okay, perfect.
So what I'm noticing on Gab, and I kind of anticipated this, is that it seems like the Jews are trying to create like a separation, like, well, it's not all Jews because of this stuff that's going on with Israel and whatnot, as if that's the grievance that white Europeans have with them. It's like they're convoluting the waters even more, you know?
Yeah, this is a Jewish strategy 101. They use things such as Zionism or communism, which are political movements to kind of hide behind in order to convince people that I'm the good Jew, right? So you'll have Jews come out that'll talk against certain things. But the key is, if you pay close attention, they'll always keep that centrifuge of Nazis are evil, National Socialism is the worst thing possible, and Jews were persecuted. So we have to stop that. They keep you away from the solution while at the same time kind of pandering to the things that you want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I really enjoy your show. I wanted to call in, and then this is one of those moments where it's like I have a total brain fart, shell shock. So I'm gonna hop off here, but I'm going to enjoy the show.
Okay, brother. Thank you for being the first call, and I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bye.
Okay, folks, the call-ins are still open. If you guys want to hop in and do a call, and you guys are more than welcome to jump in. Wow, I'm going to try to say this name. I'm not going to be able to say it. First-time chatter over on GTV. You know who you are. You know who you are. I cannot say that name. Yeah, if anybody has, there is no specific topic, George. If anybody has questions and they are concerns, thoughts, comments of their own, anybody's welcome to come in with any kind of a topic. You know, try your best to keep it kind of in the range of what is discussed on my stream, whether it's a philosophical endeavor, whether it's about National Socialism, the Jewish question, you know, white replacement, what's going on in the political sphere of society today. I'd prefer if you keep it towards America. I'm not too well-versed on European affairs. Yeah, if you guys want to call in, let me just mention one more time. Go to speakfreeradio.com. On the far left side of the screen, you're going to see some gray tabs on that left side. Hit the call and chat tab, and then a bunch of logos are going to come up. You're going to see me at the very end, Logos Revealed. You'll see my logo as well as myself. You click on that, and it'll bring you straight into my StreamYard, and I'll pull you right into the speaker category, and you guys can ask a question, make a statement, make a comment, express a concern, anything like that. Just one thing, he was the first caller, so I don't know if this is a common problem, but when you do come in, make sure that you have my stream muted or you have my stream tab closed so that when you come in, you're not getting feedback twice from myself. Yeah, but on to speak on his point again and just kind of extrapolate a little bit further on that, this is a really big problem not a problem for us, but a problem for it is our problem that it's not directly affecting us, but it's indirectly affecting us. And what I mean by that is that the common populace who falls for this Jewish trick of playing the good guy, right, pandering to your emotions, pandering to your worldview, while at the same time kind of keeping that crux and discussing, again, we went very well over this yesterday. This is how they kind of keep up that psychological slavery. They'll come in and they'll say, oh, you know, transgenderism is awful. Here's a good example. Laura Loomer, for example, she'll talk about how transgenderism is a terrible thing and all these things that are happening in society are awful. So it appeals to your emotions and your sentiments. So now you go, oh, like she's on my side. And then she's like, Israel first. We got to keep bombing those Palestinians, right? So they're always going to keep their Jew first mindset, but sometimes they'll pander to the things that you want to hear in order to kind of pull you into their category, and hopefully they can get you to that Jew first, Israel first kind of a mindset. B. Chad, welcome, brother. Welcome. Looks like we have another call in. George, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
All right, welcome, brother.
Nice, thank you.
Do you have any kind of a question or concern for today?
My concern is that your channel isn't getting as big as it should be, and I want to engage the audience to figure out how we can grow your channel and get your reach out to more people, because you're one of the best people on GTV.
Well, thank you, brother. That's a very kind concern. Do you have any thoughts in that regard?
You know, I think in order to really engage people, you have to have them show up maybe to like a Zoom call or some kind of like weekly meeting and start to put responsibility on people, where people can maybe create short clips, you know, create accounts on social media. People can edit, people can post, that kind of thing. But I think your content is really hard-hitting. It's not, you know, extremely offensive like HT, which I love, but it's able to grasp people on an intellectual basis, and you know, it's very you know, it doesn't use offensive words, and it grabs people's intellect, which I think the white man is able to connect to. So I think your content should really be out there more.
Well, thank you first off for the comment and the concern as well. I appreciate that sentiment. You know, there is that that good old saying, different strokes for different folks, right? Everybody has a different way that they're able to learn. Some like that more shock value, humorous kind of content. Some like the more intellectual side of things.
Definitely.
So yeah, I do agree that it would help if we had some people making clips of things and kind of spreading my content in that way. I'll have to figure out how to maybe incorporate some kind of an atmosphere where I talk with people actively. I have people that do take clips, but it's very fragmented and individual, so to say.
Exactly. So that's where I'm trying to brainstorm right here. And I think, you know, putting the call out to a bunch of people sitting online, it's hard to get that commitment. While if you actually have people, you know, build a relationship, have weekly call-in sessions, maybe it's on a, you know, private link, or they sign up just like your book club or something like that, where people can have more of a relationship, more responsibility, you know, that might be able to build a team towards that goal.
Yeah, it's a very good thought. You know, I could really use Telegram for something like that. I changed the format of my Telegram channel, but I can rechange it back and maybe open up some chats in there. That would be maybe a good way for me to interact with some of the viewers in the chat that would like to get to know me a little better. That's why I'm kind of doing a call-in show like this. I think this is a really helpful way to get to know people that are watching my show.
I love it, man. It's a great idea.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate you. You always have very kind things to say in the chat room, and you have very kind things to say here, so I greatly appreciate it.
Sometimes
that.
A little too sarcastic, but you know how it is. But if I may add a closing remark, I think, you know, posting to a group or posting to a chat just doesn't get the commitment that's necessary. You know, obviously in person, in the flesh is best, but what's the next best thing we can do is meeting with people, maybe one-on-one or small groups. You have to really make it personal to make people more likely to commit.
Yeah, I agree. Community building, very well said. And thank you very much for that advice. I'll certainly keep that in mind and start implementing that myself as best I can. I'll have to brainstorm on that a little bit.
Yeah, man, if you need someone to set up calls and organize all the back end, you know, I'm here.
Okay, are you on Telegram?
I got banned, but I just got a new phone number, so I'm going to get back on. I'm setting it up in the next few days.
Okay, great. That's good to hear.
Banned from Telegram. Can you imagine that?
Unfortunately, I know quite a few that is the case for them. Yeah, shoot me a message on Telegram. It's just @LogosRevealed, and we can discuss setting something up like that. I would really appreciate the help.
Definitely. I was in your group at one point, and then I woke up one day and it said, your number is banned. And I was like, I barely post. I barely chat. You know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested in kind of how that happens, because I am familiar that there are a couple people that have been banned on there as well, and I don't know what causes that.
Yeah, it's totally, maybe they like, there's people in groups in the background that look for usernames and report them. I don't know, but I got a whole new phone, got a whole new number, totally disconnected from the previous one, because at one point I got a new number, but it was on the same phone, and they detected my IBN number, whatever it is, and then banned me instantly again. So it's just like, it's challenging.
Yeah, it's definitely they're a little more tight on Telegram, since you have to link your phone number to it.
You got to go clean. You got to get a fresh new phone, fresh new number. So I just got that. It just came in the mail, so I'm going to give that a shot, and I'll be in your chat room the next few days.
Okay, great. Yeah, and message me privately too. Let me discuss with you. I'd love to speak with you one-on-one.
Great, man. Great work.
All righty. Thank you, brother. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Cheers.
Okay, folks. That was George as caller. Thank you, George, again for that that wonderful point and great concern. Very nicely put. Thank you. Maybe next time as well. Thank you. Yeah, Unruled. That would be nice. That would definitely be nice. I do need a new setup here for sure. My layout is a little bit bland. Looks like we have Aquarius back in the caller category. Let's pull him up. Aquarius, welcome back, brother.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's like I was a bit on the spot there. I was surprised I was even able to get on the show. But I tried, after listening to all this stuff for years, I finally got fed up. And I looked up, I Google searched my local synagogue, and I called them. And of course, it went to voicemail. And I was basically, I didn't leave any threats or anything like that. I'm not a, you know, raging lunatic, but just basically pointing out how they believe that they're superior to us. We're just goyim cattle and whatnot. And I left over the course of a week, I'd say in a 1 minute message prompt, probably like 7 messages. And it's like, okay, well, they're not going to get back to me, so whatever. I get a call from the sheriff, and this lady is like, well, they don't want you to contact them anymore. It's like, okay, fair enough, whatever, I'm done. Well, that was in July, and then in October, I ended up getting a court summons. So, anyways, I had to attorney up and everything. I've got a small metal fabrication business out in Northeast Ohio. And leading up to that, it's like I did everything I could to prepare my family in case the worst case scenario that I get put away. And basically had to concede to the charges, because the charges for telecommunications harassment, quote unquote, are so wide spanning and nebulous that it's like, well, yeah, I guess technically I First Amendmented it wrong. I did it over the phone. And I ended up getting 60 days in jail. I have no criminal record.
Wow.
And I was able to get out in 45 days for quote unquote good behavior and everything and whatnot. But I mean, that almost, I could have lost my house. I could have lost my business. I mean, these people, rather than debate my points, which I mean, I was calling with a bunch of valid points, and these people with their supremacist values, which really that's what it is. I mean, it's egregious, and they don't want to have the conversation.
Yeah,
is what I'm finding.
Yeah, absolutely. Because here's the thing: if they have the conversation, they're incapable of providing a factual basis to actually dispute you, which is why they revert to smearing of character. They did this really all the way back in National Socialist Germany. They did the exact same thing when Hitler was first coming to power. He expressed this in his early speeches, that they will actually just smear people rather than try to discuss with them and come to a conclusion. I'm very curious, have you had any problems since in this regard? Have they left you alone after that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they did an article, and of course, I'm not going to be included in that article. And in terms of like the social stigma, if anybody wants to talk to me about these matters, I'm more than willing to have a conversation. But again, even like the lay normie isn't going to approach me about these things. And it hasn't affected my business, because they, even though it's like, okay, wow, this guy is like an evil Nazi and everything, well, they don't know where my clientele are. And a lot of my clientele are very well-to-do people that they think, a lot of them think the Holocaust did happen and Hitler should have been far worse than what he was. The spell's wearing off. And I don't think that these people have the ability, like maybe it's because of hubris or whatnot, they can't read a room. Like the spell's wearing off, you know?
Yeah, they're grounded in that tactic, right? Again, that tactic is really all they have. It's all they've been able to use, and it's all they've ever used. So they'll continue that tactic, what they call the chutzpah, right? That just brazenness. They'll continue that as long as they can. But I have to say, I commend you for taking action, not being fearful of, especially considering you have things to lose, right? There are many who don't even have anything to lose, and they're still fearful to speak out and do something. So I really greatly appreciate that you had the confidence to do such a thing.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, what's a lot of people, and I don't blame them, would be like, well, you're an idiot for even trying to engage in a conversation with them. And even now, it's like, to say all Jews, right, it almost kind of, you would think it would weaken your argument, but I'm trying to find outliers where it's like, hey man, do you think that we should, that like dual citizenship should be a thing? You know, like if there were like a set of standards to where it's like, hey, you know what, you're not so bad. I can't find that. Like the rare exceptions would be Brother Nathaniel, and I think it was the woman that you had on that was like running for Congress or something like that.
Yeah, Lori Coffin is her name.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, I agree with the stuff you're saying and whatnot, and you were very poignant, and it's like, okay, well, you're still like, your Talmud encourages you to lie and deceive the goyim. So it's like, you know, how do we get past that?
Right. But, yeah, it's a very good point, right? So I stated on that interview, you know, you have to be very careful. Although I'm discussing with a person like that, and I'm hearing them out, to see if maybe this is a genuine identity crisis that they're going through or something of the sort, it's still very important that we sleep with one eye open, so to speak, meaning that we're very careful and understanding that they do have these kind of thoughts where it's acceptable for them to lie. And if you think about the position they're in, right, they have this unbelievable, ungodly amount of control over our media, over our politics, over all of these different atmospheres. And as you stated, it is breaking down. The spell is starting to wear off. And because of that, they're in a bit of a panic mode, right? You see some of them kind of going neurotic on live TV and threatening to nuke the world. And then you have others like maybe Lori Kaufman, and I'm not accusing her of this, but you have to be very open-minded and think that this could be a case, who might, in a sense of self-defense, speak out against the quote-unquote evilness of her Jewish brethren simply to maintain power and make sure that she can kind of hold that position of trust for her people. It's something that we have to be very weary of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm noticing that the InfoWars, like the chats, I don't typically, I got away from Alex Jones, unfortunately, because I actually really liked his content back in like 2010 or whatever, but his chats being protected, for instance, like they would be like on the chat saying, oh, there's people on Gab that actually like Hitler. And so I chatted on there. It's like, well, yeah, I'm one of them. What of it? You know, and it's just like, oh, this and that. Next thing you know, boom, I was removed. I wasn't able to talk. And I think what they're afraid of is the common vernacular of which the Trump boomer crowd or Gen X or whatever that are saying the term globalist, if that was to turn to saying Zionist, then that's just a slight nudge away from full-on 1488, I think.
Yeah, they're very fearful of this, and this is quite evident in all of their actions, all of these gatekeeping kind of things that they'll do. Here's the thing, and Hitler actually described this very well in an early speech. Maybe I'll try to link that in the chat after this show is over. But in this speech, he says, you know, it's entitled "Why Do They Hate Germany?" And he says they hate Germany because these he calls them plutocratic Jews, right? They're financial oligarchs, and he states that if National Socialism, let's say all the Jews in the world, when Hitler rose to power, they all just left Germany and they left him alone. They didn't do anything about it. Their fear is that his society would be so prosperous and so well in tune that other countries would see that and want to follow the example. And then that would mean that Jews can no longer leech or parasite off of our civilizations. So that's the same reason that today, in the modern age, we have people on all fronts going against National Socialist ideals, calling Hitler evil on a constant basis. It's this defense mechanism to ensure that we don't actually follow through with one of the greatest plans or political solutions that we've ever seen in our history.
Well, I'm going to hop off here, but I just want to say to all my brothers and sisters out there to hold the line, and you don't have anything to fear if you're right. I mean, if you're standing in truth. So I appreciate your show. I'm a hop off.
Okay, brother. Thank you again for the confidence boost for the chat room and doing your best to kind of do something as well. I greatly appreciate that. And I wish you the best of luck with your business.
Likewise. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Okay. That was a lovely call in. Great individual. Thank you again, Aquarius, for calling in, and George as well. The chat is still open for anybody who wants to do a call-in. We don't have any active callers right now. I will keep my eye open here. But yeah, you make some good points. It's a very important thing to recognize when we look at all of these, what we call controlled opposition commentators, Charlie Kirk, Steve Bannon. I always use these two as very solid examples because they really are very, very solid examples of this situation. But they need this system to continue to function, right? Again, when we say system, we mean form of state. Your form of state can be a dictatorship. Your form of state can be a democracy. Your form of state can be an oligarchy, right? But that system or form of state, the one that's present right now is this democratic capitalism, right? Where the political system is democracy, but the society kind of system or the economic system is capitalism. So Jews benefit from the capitalism. Then their pawns, people like Charlie Kirk, Steve Bannon, who worked at Goldman Sachs and had all these different highfalutin jobs, right? These people benefit off of that financial system. Therefore, they have to protect the political system. And their way of protecting the political system is Nazis are bad, Nazis are evil, because that is the one solution that can actually pull us out of this system and save us from the circumstance that we are in, both financially and politically. We have another caller. Looks like Christopher is in here. Christopher, welcome, brother. Nice to have you on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. How are you?
Good, good.
Welcome.
I was just reading this Talmud Unmasked called The Secret Rabbinical Teachings on Christians, and I am just disgusted by reading this. I don't know if you ever read this about how they feel about Christians.
I've read a good deal, not specifically from the Talmud Unmasked, but I've read the actual Talmud, and they have some pretty damning quotes about Christianity and about Jesus Christ as well, specifically.
It's just I couldn't believe what I'm reading. I can't believe it. It is truly shocking. It truly is.
Yeah, is this fresh information for you, reading the Talmud?
I read a little bit when I was, a couple years ago, whatever, and I was always kind of a little bit reading on it, but like now I've been really looking into this because I'm looking to write a book on like the reasons why Jews were expelled from all these different countries. Because I'm an author myself, and this is just kind of like, I don't know, it's just I never really looked at it, and like because I'm Christian and it's like now I'm starting to really feel it, like this is really real because of all the stuff that's going on now, like it's just really starting to come alive now, all this hate towards us. And I think being, it seems like what they call anti-Semitism is just us waking up how much they actually hate us. And that's what they call being an anti-Semite, just being aware of how much these people actually hate us. If that's what it being an anti-Semite is, I don't know what to tell you, but that's what it feels like,
Yeah, very well said. Anti-Semitism is a purely reactionary. I'm curious, you stated that you're an author. Have you written anything in the past?
Yeah, I've written multiple books. I've written three books on Islamic law and things of that nature, because I converted to Islam when I was in college, and I went to school, learned Islamic law, and I wrote three books on it. Now I've converted back to Catholicism, and I'm writing a book on basically the reawakening of basically Christianity in Western civilization. And of course, I'm coming to this information because it's part of my book, but it's a lot of research involved the way I'm doing this.
Lovely. Yeah, it's definitely not an easy project, especially if you're looking into kind of Jewish behavior against Christianity. The way to really view it is Christianity and Judaism as religious beliefs have been really at odds with each other for the last 2,000 years. So I'd be very interested to see kind of what you write and what comes of that. Please, go ahead.
I'll give you an example. So this is what I'm doing, this makes a lot of sense. You might make sense to you because I do listen to you. I like to watch. I look at your posts. I listen to you all the time. But check this out. So there's two books that these Jews have written. The first one is called The Authoritarian Personality by Adorno. I don't know if you ever heard of it. And there's another book by a Jew called, it's called The Mass Psychology of Fascism. So what these Jews did is they basically learned what is the mentality of Western civilization, what makes them tick, like what gives them strength, what gives them confidence and things of that nature. They have like all these different points of what, basically what gives like the character of I don't know, strength and confidence and cultural, basically cultural superiority of Western civilization. What gives you like your base, right? Your roots. So they identified all these things that give you your roots, and they attack every single one of them to weaken Western culture and Western civilization so they can take over banks, whatever the fuck they want to do. Do you know what I'm saying? So basically what my book is basically reinventing the authoritarian personality of Western civilization once again. So basically it's like, bringing a sense of culture, like what is the Western family about? What is the actual teachings of Catholicism? What is like, the family, every aspect of the authoritarian personality trying to destroy is trying to bring back again. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And that's a really commendable endeavor, one that I greatly respect. I very much think that the source of all of this is our culture, right? If we can reinstitute culture into the minds of our people, we'll be able to actually react against this problem that we have. I think the problem is that most people, and especially in the United States today, have been Judaized, right? So they no longer kind of are of our culture. They are of a Jewish form of culture, and we need to bring them kind of back to home.
Yeah, it's like they're completely programmed to hate Jewish, and it's like they're programmed, like it's just like a program, like you're programmed to hate your own culture and your own people, and like you're like, and you follow Jewish, like you're programmed to follow Jewish interests, you know what I'm saying? And it's just insane. Like I did extensive studies on the French Revolution. That's what I'm working on, the chapter of the book I'm working on now about the French Revolution. I went in deep study the French Revolution. That's where a lot of our problems actually came from, as far as our culture being destroyed, because our entire culture was destroyed during the French Revolution. People don't even know it. Because before, our culture was based on, it's called the papal monarchism, basically. Yeah. That was our culture for what, the past, what, 2,000 years? And it was all overturned during the French Revolution, and that's where secularism came about. And basically what they did is they took the Catholic Church and they made it subordinate to the state, to the secular state. And that was the first time in history that Catholicism, which was our religion for 2,000 years, was subordinated to the state. See, for the Catholicism was actually the superior, and it was basically the moral guide and moral principle of our civilization. So basically, for example, if there was a spiritual issue involved, like something to do with spirituality, right? The church would have superiority and precedence on that issue, and the secular powers had to follow that. But after the French Revolution, they subordinated the Catholic Church, and they were telling the Catholic Church what to do, and they passed freedom of religion. You could be whatever religion you want, and basically it just basically weakened all of Western civilization at that point, because they took out our moral foundation, which was Catholicism. Whether anybody likes it or not, that's just the truth. That was the moral foundation of Western civilization, Catholicism. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It played the primary role in the morality that all of our civilizations have had for a very long time. Kind of post pagan era, right? Coming into AD on our calendar, or the beginning of our calendar. I mean, that in itself kind of describes that our calendar is based upon a Christian timeline that kind of sets the field for the morality. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And again, I think it's a really good endeavor for you to do to reinstitute culture into our people. It looks like we briefly lost Chris. Hopefully we can get him back in here. Huh. I don't know if he can still hear me, but yeah, continuing on his point, culture is the utmost importance here. If we can bring our people back to culture, we can kind of give our people that warrior spirit again. That's a great deal, a great part of our culture. I just want to point out, here we go, Chris is back.
Oh, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry, one last thing, I don't want to take up too much time, but one last thing that I found, and of course I'll continue to listen to you, because this is my passion, this is all I care about. Literally my passion. But anyway, so check this out. So during COVID, how, like, you know, all of these criminals were being let free and they were terrorizing white people all across America during the crime waves. Did you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
So I was thinking about how the fuck could this happen, where they're letting all these black criminals out to terrorize white people. Basically, they're arrested 46 times, let out the next day. They're terrorizing Asians. They're terrorizing people all across America, right? And I was looking at them like, these are all, most of these are Jewish district attorneys that are letting these people out, or they're district attorneys behind whatever. But, you know, like Larry Krasner, Chase Abodin, they're all Jewish, right? They're all letting all these criminals out free. And I was reading something during Constantine's time, which was Constantine, which was basically the founder of, basically the one who brought Christianity to Western civilization. Constantine was a Roman emperor. I don't know if you've heard of him. Have you heard of him?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, he put in there, I was reading this history, that Jewish people were purposely unleashing barbarians on Christians, purposely, out of ethnic hatred. They were purposely, like, basically coaxing barbarians to attack white Christians, and they were basically out of their ethnic hatred. And then I saw what these Jewish people were doing during the crime waves. They were letting out criminals to terrorize white people, just like they were doing in the 4th century. No different. It's the same concept. They wanted barbarians to attack white Christians out of ethnic hatred towards Christians.
Absolutely. I'm curious, are you familiar with the work Bolshevism from Moses to Lenin?
I'm very familiar. I have not read the book, but I'm very, very familiar with Bolshevism and communism, because our group was, before it got canceled, was Alliance Against Communism. That was our group. We got banned on Facebook, unfortunately.
It's a shame, but not surprising at this point. I would like to direct you to that book. That might greatly help you in your studies. Bolshevism from Moses to Lenin. It's a very short book. It's about 35 pages.
Bolshevism from Lenin to from Lenin to who?
Bolshevism from Moses to Lenin.
Oh, Moses. Gotcha.
Yep.
Moses,
and it's a conversation between Adolf Hitler and his mentor, where they speak about, they actually quote the Bible, they quote the Old Testament, and they talk about Jewish behavior throughout the centuries. And they accurately describe what you were just discussing very well in depth, and I think you'll find that very helpful to your studies for writing.
And then I did my dissertation on ethnic conflict. That's what I did my dissertation on when I did my master's degree. My thesis was on ethnic conflict, so I definitely know about all the aspects of ethnic conflict. So I know an ethnic conflict when I see one, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll discuss that pretty well, and they reference the Old Testament a few times within that. So you being Christian and obviously revering the Bible and having an understanding of the history of it, I think you'll find that very helpful.
Yeah, I appreciate everything. Like I said, I appreciate what you're doing. Like I said, I don't support Hitler. I'm not a Nazi in any way. I'm just a white Christian. I just want the best for my civilization. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a bad guy.
So, certainly.
In any way.
Okay, was that everything, Chris?
Yeah, basically. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you, Chris, very much for coming up and bringing a wonderful thought. And I do, again, look forward to hearing from your book. When you get working on that project, I'd love to see it. Just go ahead and message me privately. I'll greatly read it.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Yep, thank you, Chris. Okay, guys, that was our third caller, Chris. Anybody else is welcome to come in. The chat is open. We don't have any callers at the moment. Again, if you guys do want to call in, you go on speakfreeradio.com. On the far left side of the screen, you're going to see some gray tabs. Click on call and chat, and then I will be the final logo on that screen. Obviously, logos revealed. You click on that, it'll bring you into the StreamYard, and you can come in with any kind of a question or concern. Love of our people, the five library coin investment. Thank you, brother. He says, Catholicism is the reason the Jews are still with us. The Catholic Church protected them, but the Catholics exterminated the Odinists. Thanks, Catholics. Yeah, you know, we have a lot of religious fighting back and forth in this regard. It's hard to blame the religion itself, right? A lot of people will state that the Catholic Church, for example, has been heavily subverted by Jews, right? Therefore, it's very hard for us to blame Catholicism, right? If the problem with Catholicism is that it's been subverted by Jews, then Jews would be the problem, not Catholicism, right? It's not the ideals of Catholicism, it's the ideals of Jews that are purveying within Catholicism. And this is the same of everything, right? People who state Freemasons, for example, Jews have infiltrated Freemasonry and done this, right? Okay, well, if Jews infiltrated it and it was fine before then it's Jews that are the problem, right? It's just a matter of pointing at that source. But I definitely understand the sentiment. One thing I want to point out really quickly, talking about reestablishing our culture, we were just talking about that with Christopher. One thing that's really important, understanding our culture, is that warrior spirit, like I described on that call, warrior spirit is a great deal of our culture. We don't have this culture of tolerance or passivity, right? This is a modern concept that has been indoctrinated to us, and sadly Christianity has to some extent it has been done via that outlet. I'm not blaming Christianity as a whole for that. However, I am stating that through Jewish subversion, Christianity has been softened into this passive ideal that preaches tolerance and acceptance and universalism, which has allowed Jews to kind of prevail in the way that they would like with this God's chosen people mindset. So to speak on this, I just want to show you, if you go on Wikipedia and click on the year, you look up the year 6000 on Wikipedia, you're going to get an article about Jewish messianism and how they're trying to take over the world. And through that article, I'm just going to back up here and show you it. Okay, here is year 6000 on Wikipedia. I encourage you to look into this on your own time. I've covered this a few times. I don't want to cover this specifically. But there is a sculpture here on the far right side, okay, that's used as Jewish messianism, okay? Literally, this is bound with the Jewish religion here, this sculpture. This sculpture is entitled, Swords to Plowshares, Let Us Beat Swords. Hey! Hey! Yo! I'm talking! Okay. Sorry about that. This sculpture is entitled "Let Us Turn Swords to Plowshares," right? So you have this warrior spirit, this Aryan warrior spirit, and the sword symbolizes that. Okay. So here you have. This is the sculpture. It's an Aryan man taking a hammer, which is, if you pay close attention, this is literally what the hammer and sickle means. They're showing you that. They're encapsulating that and describing that to you. The hammer and sickle is the Aryan man taking a hammer and hammering his sword into a plowshare, which would be a sickle, okay? And that sickle is then used as it's symbolizing turning that warrior spirit into a peaceful spirit that is no longer pushing that warrior framework. Very important thing to understand. And this literally goes hand in hand with the Jewish religion. They openly state that. Okay, the caller category is still open to anybody who would like to come up and put a point into the chat. You guys are more than welcome to do so. I'd like to see some new callers. Got about an hour left on the show, guys. We're coming up on the 1 hour mark. We're halfway through the show. Again, we're on Speak Free Radio. We're live doing a podcast stream. So because of that, we only stream for 2 hours on Tuesdays. That's our time slot, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern. We're live on all platforms right now. We're live on Twitter, GTV, Odyssey, and Speak Free Radio. And if you guys would like to do a call-in, you do that via Speak Free Radio on the left side tabs. You'll see call and chat, and then you go ahead and click on my logo, and that'll bring you straight into the StreamYard. Yeah, it's very ugly art, and additionally, it's very subversive art, and that's the key to understand is how subversive this art is. They always do this. Their art always has some form of subverted symbolism that is a antithesis to what we believe in or what we revere highly. All right, Gaybar, I'm going to ask you one time politely to just relax. I appreciate your thoughts, but let's cool it down, all right? It's a little bit ridiculous, man. It's a good quote, Robert. You're so ugly, you could be a modern art masterpiece. It's very good. Yeah, modern art is Jewish art, right? And it's meant to be ugly because it's meant to demoralize. It's the same with when you look at architecture, right? Architecture has been greatly changed to be heavily uninteresting or disengaging for anybody of culture. It destroys you. It destroys your spirit. We have this brutalism art, cubic art, right? All these skyscrapers, these modern-day skyscrapers. It's just a massive dilution of that kind of original art form that we used to use. I appreciate that love of our people. I definitely have some great sentiment with the idea of making our race our religion. Again, coming into actually next month, starting tomorrow with our book club, we're going to be reading Guido von List for our next books. And Guido von List was the founder of the idea of Ariosophy. And Ariosophy simply states that the Aryan race should be our religion, our racial ancestors, our racial predecessors who have created these spiritual foundations for us should be our religion. That's what he states. brother, with your comments over on Odyssey, you're welcome to have these kind of sentiments. You're entitled to your own opinion. It's just not the place for it, man. All right. I'm not a fervent follower of anybody, so you're just doing this in the wrong place. Again, if anybody else is looking to come up in the StreamYard, you guys are more than welcome to join. Do a call in. Yeah, absolutely, Robert. You know, look at let me give you a really good example of a painting, and it goes right along with this Jewish symbolism of using the number six, right? Obviously, you know, Jews very much like the number six. Let me find this. All right, buddy, come on now. Here's a really good example of this for anybody who's not familiar with Jewish art. Literally entitled Number Six. That's the name of this this piece. Okay, I can't highlight it, but it's literally entitled Number Six, and it's three sloshes of paint on a just a.
Here nothing, you have right? something.
Literally just three swashes of paint. This is not art, and this sold. Look at this. This art sold for $80 million. $80 million, okay? Well, actually, it was privately bought for $140 million first. Okay, let me tell you something, folks. This is how you do backwoods or backdoor shady under-the-table deals. This is how Jews do this, okay? They sell paintings for $140 million. Who knows what he actually sold, but they put it under the guise of selling a painting and art, right? It's this kind of sneaky little way to get around selling something that's probably illegal to sell. So we just got an entropy. Slovak with a $7 investment. Guys, can we get the Romans in the chat for Slovak? He says, here, you have something. Thank you very much, brother. Guys, can we get the Romans up for Slovak? Again, if we fill this bar up by the end of this 7-day stream marathon, we will be doing a 12-hour marathon next week. Don't have a day set yet, but we certainly will be doing it. Yeah, money laundering is a big piece as well. Absolutely. It's either money laundering or they're buying something else with the painting, right? It's something you have to take into account, too, when you look at, like, Jeffrey Epstein, for example. And when they're selling art, you know, maybe, like, a child comes with that art. Something you have to really think about with these Jews. They're very sick. Pavlov, by the way, I'm just seeing you now. I saw you earlier, but I'm just recalling it now. You said it's you're finally able to catch a live stream. I do appreciate that. Welcome, brother. Sorry, I haven't been too up to date with the chat today. Kind of not as interactive. When I have call-ins, it's a little bit harder to do so. Yeah, the worst part is it's public money laundering. So it's a way where they can money launder publicly and actually brag about it, right? And get people to think it's an admirable thing. It's quite sickening, right? They money launder right under your nose, and then they make it out to be this, like, oh, you know, esteemed art being sold, and they try to make it in this way where they actually gain public sentiment through that money laundering. Looks like we have a new caller. Ace, welcome, brother. How are you?
Hey, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. How are you?
Very well. Very well. Just thought you were doing a call-in.
Yes. Do you have any thoughts or concerns to add?
Yeah. I want to apologize for we didn't get to wrap up our discussion a little while ago. Something came up, but a while ago we were talking about, what was it? The two identities with... mixed race people.
Yeah, absolutely. I recall it was a shame to see you leave, because I really wanted to kind of come to the understanding of where you stand on that topic. Really quick, just for the audience, so they understand kind of what's going on if they weren't present there. We were doing a Twitter space where we were discussing the difference between Groypers and white nationalism, and kind of coming to a common civil discourse with this. And Ace came in. Ace, you are of a mixed descent. If you want to maybe describe, because I don't fully know your descent.
Yeah, my father's Irish, who I got a lot of my mannerisms and culture from, and then my mother's side of the family is Mexican, from what I understand.
Okay. I guess my question to you before we really, where it got cut off and I wasn't able to speak with you any longer, was what side do you identify with, if any?
Well, I guess culturally I side with my father's side on most kind of culturally things. I kind of try to be introspective about what do I get from each. And I just think it's kind of on a wide spectrum, maybe curiosity and some psychological things. But I'm curious myself exactly what comes from where. And I don't really have the answer to that, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think to an extent that might, as I was saying, create maybe an identity crisis, which I feel for. You know, it's understandable. Are you familiar with the term Latin American regret? Have you ever heard of that?
You mentioned that. I don't think I was paying attention when you were explaining it.
Yeah, so Latin American regret is this very interesting phenomenon that's all over Latin America, where people who are descendant of actual white Spaniards had mixed with the aboriginals in Latin America, and they deeply, they have this spiritual regret within them where they're like literally all about white pride. I actually interviewed a guy on my show who really holds this sentiment. His name was Ignacio. I had met him via Omegle, and I had him on my show for an interview, and he is all, you know, pro-white power. He's full national socialist, and you can tell it's that kind of that white genetic bloodline coming out and regretting that admixture, and they're very open about that.
No, that's interesting. Maybe there's a parallel there with, like, the Spanish Falange types, like a fascist-leaning, politically-wise, but then ethnically. I mean, depending on how you would categorize Spanish people, you know, maybe the European connection or lack thereof. Yeah, that seems to be common among, like, Generation Z, becoming more to the right. And, of course, the country's less homogenous than it was about 50 years ago. So I think that's common, though. Maybe that's hard for people to, like, accept. But I don't know. I you said something to the effect in the space about, like, maybe it's impossible for a mixed-race person to participate in race realism. I don't know if I buy that. Just, I'm assuming you mean because of the dual identities.
Yeah, my reasoning for stating that was, and I wouldn't say impossible, but it's very difficult, because you might have that identity crisis where you don't know where you would identify with, kind of what camp you would put yourself in. And my reason for saying, I wasn't stating that it was impossible for race realism. It was more so, it's hard for you to maybe identify with a white nationalist movement or feel comfortable in a movement like that. Because although you might identify with your white culture, deep down there is that understanding that you aren't fully white, and you would maybe never feel really comfortably accepted in a movement like that.
Well, I think there's a number of things. Maybe we didn't touch on the generational divide, which tends to happen with a lot of millennials who are part of the alt-right, and I guess what the Groypers would call Wignats, and then the Groypers who are probably on average more likely to be mixed race, and came into this thing after 2017. So yes, I mean, just from the internet, as far as like being radicalized, it seemed like we were clustering towards the younger side. And I noticed that it didn't really minimize the radical politics. Maybe from a white nationalist perspective, even that is too, I don't know, paleo-conservative versus like an authentic far-right ideology. But in my experience, a lot of the Zoomers I've met have been white, and I've never really seen it conflict, like cause an identity crisis, whereas someone in my case may face a similar thing, because my attributes are very physical and obvious, whereas someone like Nick Fuentes is more white passing. But I don't know if you would see a distinction there, if that's like, you know, like Leo Strauss types seeing themselves as part of the American demographic. I mean, I don't know if you would disagree with that.
Well, Jews seeing themselves as the American demographic, that I disagree with specifically. They really are, by definition, a special case, right? Because you can never trust that if they're actually having that identity crisis and they really do want to be away from their people, or if this is a subversive activity, right? We don't have like a history of looking at Mexicans as being subversive elements, or blacks even as being subversive elements, right? Although Jews, if you look at their history, there is subversion consistently. So they're a different case. But that was why I asked you, kind of where you identify, because I was very curious as to if there is maybe even a subconscious identity crisis in there that you aren't aware of. It's a phenomena that I'm unfortunately not familiar. Well, fortunately, I will say not familiar with.
Fair enough. No, I definitely have an identity crisis. I know how this is going to come across, but I do identify with a lot of white culture. That isn't, I'm not trying to say I'm all the way in and I'm, you know, just as American as someone like yourself. But just from a cultural perspective, I things like the assimilation tend to happen with like Italians and Irishmen. And I think possibly I could meet that standard given some of my politics and, I'm very interested in aesthetics and kind of the history of American culture in the 20th century. So I very much identify with a lot of entertainment and, some customs from California and so forth. But yeah, I chalk it up to generational differences I have with white nationalists. I have some political disagreements because I'm Catholic. But I don't know, maybe there is some differences I disagree with like some of white culture, some like 90s era Tom Metzger types who kind of see it in a strictly race realist perspective. And maybe that causes them to gatekeep all the other minority groups within America. You know, I recognize that WASPs built this country and are responsible for all the fruits. But I guess I'm not full on like antagonistic for minority groups that exist within Europe and America. I would just say that they should exist as a subculture. And I think we would agree that there's an obvious homogenous thing that has to be maintained. Otherwise, you have like a type of chaos, of course. But I don't know. I don't think I disagree with a lot of far right people when it comes to race. I saw somebody in the chat said, as long as you recognize race and like someone like myself doesn't have to like impose my Hispanic values as in like, you know, Hispanic, I guess Mexico's culture, so to speak, besides the religious factor. I don't think I do that within a Wignat space or on Twitter politically. So I don't necessarily see where there's a disagreement with like the Groypers and some of the more far right type on race.
You know, I think that was my exact point to kind of have that discussion with you and other Groypers who want to have, you know, these intellectual discourses. I don't think there is as much of a divide as kind of is thought on both sides. Just to kind of clarify, when we had this conversation, you yourself stated that you wouldn't want any form of minorities to be in any kind of political power in the United States, seeing as this was a WASP or white-founded country. I'm kind of against the usage of white, but understandable. But I agree with you on the sentiment. The one thing I disagree with is subcultures. And this is on a moral level. This actually has nothing really to do with not wanting them in my country or having this antagonistic kind of a viewpoint towards them, but for their own good, right? If just as an example, if we look at South Africa, where there are a minority of whites and there's blacks all over the place, maybe not, I wouldn't say a full minority, but you understand the analogy here. They have a problem where this black power structure is fully against them, and those whites are no longer able to express their culture because this is a black-dominated area politically. So because of that, they're kind of at a loss, right? And it would be the same here in the United States if whites were able to actually take their power back, retain this power structure. Those subcultures would always be at the behest of that that ruling homogenous faculty of society. So just for their own good, I think it would be far better for them to actually move back to their homelands and be able to have a say in their politics, a say in what happens, and actually institute a culture that is with them, that has their origins in it, that they might feel most comfortable with.
Well, it seems like Groypers would be supportive of a kind of homogenous demographic in the United States. And so that's where I say there seems to be not a conflict of interest between their identities, which may be more confusing, and their politics, which seem to resemble, you know, a sort of historical white nationalist sentiment shown in immigration policy. You know, I don't really see them in the same category as I may have cited this in the space. That guy, the Sohrab Ahmari, or one of these types who's like a conservative writer, but then kind of sees Mexicans as kind of naturally mixing in culturally with the American culture. And I don't really see that kind of rhetoric come from Groypers or even people that are Mexican, you know, I guess people like Fuentes, et cetera. There does seem to be two different camps that try to speak from a Catholic perspective. And maybe it's easier from a white nationalist perspective to say this is all the same thing, because, you know, it's for you guys, I think it's more race based. And there's some other identities that I would value and would be part of a hierarchy. And so maybe this is ultimately a religious dilemma, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, certainly. I think it definitely goes more into a religious dilemma than anything else. I think on the racial aspect, from all the Groypers I've spoken to, we agree for the most part. The only difference is that white nationalists don't want anybody that's not of their race to associate with them politically. And I can understand that. Some people are, you know, I don't like the word because of how it's used in modern sense, but by definition, a little more extreme than I am. I'm more diplomatic in my approach. I'm comfortable speaking with other races and holding diplomatic processes with them, with the understanding that we are to separate. We are to have control over our own destinies within our own countries. And that is a strong line that will not be crossed. But yeah, I think when it comes to the faith side of things, I think in my understanding or my view, the biggest distinction or issue that we have between these two movements that kind of separates us the most is Groypers are more so, and correct me if I'm wrong, but how I perceive it is they would like to reform the current system, take out the Jewish power structure of that system, and then instill a new homogenous white power structure that is specifically Catholic in that system. However, the white nationalist side seeks to actually remove this system, not reform it, but remove it and replace something in its stead that is entirely different, and that being National Socialism. And faith doesn't have like a hard stance in that regard.
I think that's accurate. I think that's the difference there.
Yeah, absolutely. That's how I view it. And because of that, I've tried to state this to kind of both communities, is that since the only thing that really differs in our worldviews is our end goal, I think it's very important that in our initial goals of kind of working that Jewish power structure out of the way, which is both of our primary objectives to begin, I think it's important that we work together in that regard rather than counter-signal each other, shit-fling with each other, and kind of just throw stuff back and forth at each other when we could actually be helping each other. And, you know, kind of a circumstance of may the best man win after that happens.
Fair enough. I mean, it does seem very rare to have somebody closer to your age group in the Wignat sphere. You know, in my experience, it seems to be older folks. And maybe I want to apologize if I did get too nasty with some of the people on the panel. I understand that that's like a low blow. But it does seem like there's a pattern where, you know, like the early alt-right, the older folks cluster towards TRS and NPI and all of that kind of stuff. And the Zoomers were much more comedic, entertainment friendly, and I guess less serious, not politically, but kind of behavior wise. And so, you know, admittingly, I think people find that on the timeline if they speak with Groypers. There's a very performative aspect in the Twitter spaces. And I don't want that to minimize the very authentic radical politics that parallels with a lot of the Wignat. You know, I think if there were more Zoomers from the like strict white nationalist side. I think it'd be easier for someone like me to kind of take that community more seriously. You know, I'm very friendly with a lot of different people, and that gets me into some trouble. But I think it is healthy to talk between factions and bridge these things, because ultimately I see both groups as participating in something that's serious. And maybe people look at our community as a rambunctious radio show with I don't know, just saying like stuff from Call of Duty lobbies, etc. But maybe we're coming across differently more recently. Oh, sorry. Is everything all right?
Oh, sorry. I'm speaking muted. My apologies. I agree. And one thing I want to state is another important part about having these diplomatic discussions is, if we look at Jews, for example, they have these same discussions amongst themselves. And it's between the differences, the political differences of communism and Zionism, right? Although Jews are all of the same seed, they have a different political solution for how things go. So the more atheistic or secular ones want to see a communist society. But at the end of the day, the understanding is that both of these factions of Jews, no matter what their political ideal is, they want Jews to rule the world, right? They want Jews to have this omnipotent power over every other race of people and mongrelize the rest. It doesn't matter if it's Zionist or communist. They both want that end goal. The difference is how things are done after they get their initial power of world supremacy. It's what they do with it, right? So the Zionists want it to be more religious stanced, while the communists want it to be in more of a secular stance. It's kind of, again, the same thing that we have here between Groypers and white nationalists, is that we have the same initial understanding as to what we want to happen. We just have a different end goal of how it's formulated after that happens.
Yeah, and maybe your audience is probably familiar. I don't keep up with, I apologize, someone in the chat. Yeah, I don't mean Wignat in like a derogatory way. I ran out of a word there. So, white nationalist, I think that's a fair description. And maybe some people here are aware of people like Greg Johnson and some of these people that have kind of taken a back seat politically with some of the movement politics that happened, back when Spencer was doing the alt-right. Very different from the types of white nationalists that are kind of making their own content, people like you, maybe. It does seem to be like there's a hands-off approach strategy-wise with some of the white nationalists today. And I think that's, more true to the decentralized model that was happening in 2018 when you had far-right people. There was no leader, there was no main principles. Everybody was just kind of being pro-white, and there wasn't a lot of fighting. Maybe that's something that could be considered when there's dialect between Groypers and Zoomers and less politically curious people, or more religious people, rather. I think a lot of that, those lessons kind of get lost from the alt-right when it became kind of a cult of personality. It wasn't very successful. When there was a hands-off approach, there seemed to be more authentic dialogue between different factions. Maybe that's less of an ego because people are wrapped up in the movement rather than the end goals, etc. But if people here are familiar with Greg Johnson and some of the commentary that's happened on the other former alt-right websites, maybe there's some lessons there for us to interact with each other more friendly.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm happy to have discussions with somebody like yourself. We don't have to fully agree on absolutely everything in our worldview, but if we agree on 75% to 90%, it's far better than me having diplomatic dialogue with a Jew who has like basically 0% to 5% in agreement with worldview, and even the little that he might agree with me on, it's impossible for me to actually gauge if he truly does agree or not. I feel you're very genuine in your sentiments, and I greatly do appreciate conversations like this.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. I appreciate it. And, I was talking about this with someone this weekend or Friday. The one drop rule, wasn't that like not even true during like Nuremberg laws? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, absolutely. They actually went so far in the Nuremberg laws. They allowed Jews that were 25% Jewish to actually be a part of society and function within that society. That I disagree with. I think I would go much lower. I wouldn't play the one drop game, But I would go much lower. The one thing I do want to mention, though, is looking at our current modern standpoint. Someone in the chat actually, anti-gov, had mentioned, you know, what do we mean by mixed race? Like, I'm Irish and German, so I'm technically mixed race. What I want to explain about mixed race is mixing of different cultural races. So if we look at Europe as a concept, right? Europe being a continent, all of those European people, they might be different races, right? Like Germanic or Italian or French, but they constitute what Europe is as a cultural body, right? Same as Asia. There are different peoples in Asia. There's Koreans, Japanese, Chinese, right? But they all constitute the Asiatics. So us mixing those kind of continental races, that's where things start to go awry because the cultures are so drastically different. What if you look in Europe, the morality is at least the same. The religious understanding is typically the same. Like you don't have like, at least when we're talking like pre-World War II, you don't have like European Muslims running all over the place or European Jews running all over or European Buddhists running all over. It's homogenous in the sense that the culture is vastly similar in the moral and ethical sphere.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, maybe a lot of that stuff gets forgotten. I know when we're in the spaces, it's a lot more of, you know, blood sports. But that's all kind of interesting. And then maybe we forget kind of how lenient some of the even far right parties back in the day were. Now there's that stuff's kind of been like, it's harder to defend stuff like that. But maybe it kind of increases the radicalization process even beyond the standard it was back then. And so maybe that's where we start talking past each other and saying, well, you know, it's all about race, et cetera, et cetera. But I appreciate the dialogue. You know, I know some Zoomers are very rambunctious. I don't know. Maybe it's my personality. I like talking to people all over the spectrum. So I appreciate the friendliness.
Of course. Yeah. Again, I have a hard time kind of identifying myself with any specified movement, so to speak, because I'm very much an independent thinker and I hold my own sentiments. I don't get into these mass psychosis camps, right, where I'll just kind of reiterate statements of somebody else or reiterate phrases that other people have started. I have my own kind of thought process, and I'm I guess you could say unique in that regard.
Well, do you, I mean, I'm really curious your kind of take on Hollywood's legacy. I mean, I know in that space, maybe things didn't go over so well. I mean, would you consider most of American 20th century entertainment to be subversive?
Yeah, absolutely. All of it, all the way through.
All of it?
Yeah. I mean, okay, when I say all of it, I mean the majority. So just to be more precise, I'll say like 80 to 85%. It's extremely foreign to, if we look back in all of European culture and history or white culture and history, all of these things that are commonly produced today or accepted or all throughout the 1900s within Hollywood are very foreign to us. They literally spawn, you have to understand, they spawn from Jewish minds, right? Most of it is Jewish writing, Jewish production. And because of that, it's spiritually different than we are. Just to touch on this really briefly, and this I didn't really I don't think Dalton understood this when I stated this to him, but when I went on No Holds Barred, his humor towards me, which by the way he conflated this to state that I'm against humor. I'm not against humor in any way, shape, or form. I'm against humor or comedy that is degenerative and not spiritually in line with myself or my culture. So what I would define as Jewish humor, which is very smutty, degenerate, constantly joking about drugs or sex, this is something that is extremely Jewish. It's something that they have brought to the table. This was never a thing in European culture and history, right? It only came into America post-World War II, and it's completely Jewish in its invention. So I had stated to him, you know, you're very Jewish in spirit, and he didn't understand what I meant by that. He had questioned, you know, I don't even know what the fuck that means. Well, what it means is that the form of jokes, the understanding of comedy, is in a Jewish framework, right? So I had gone on the recap show that you hosted with Bemis and
Beardson.
Beardson wasn't in there. It was Bemis and something and somebody else. But they were making jokes. They were essentially mocking me the entire time, right? Mocking the fact that I'm more serious and I kind of delve more into that intellectual sphere and I don't really joke too much myself. But I actually found that extremely humorous and I was laughing the whole time and I had no insults towards that form of comedy because that is a comedy that requires intelligence and some form of cultural understanding to get what they're pointing at, right? When they're mocking me and mocking my how serious I am, right? That is a very Aryan or white form of comedy that I greatly appreciate.
Okay, yeah, I guess I would be curious where the line is, because, you know, when you talk about, like, decadent culture, I agree, the cosmopolitan, New York, Woody Allen stuff, yes, that is Jewish, that comes from a certain place. It also seems to overlap with, like, Southern American, like, rock and roll, partying, the, like, fraternity culture. I don't know, would you see those things as distinct? Because not to open this can of worms, but, you know, some people would argue, you know, rock and roll came from blacks rather than whites, and the Southern rock movement is all, you know, effectively we owe somebody else for all these songs, et cetera, and culture. But I don't know, I feel like somebody like Elvis or Jerry Lee Lewis, I feel like these are very white American, you know, like we earn those legacies, you know, and even if they are decadent, like, you know, dancing or the places where the concerts are happening, I do feel like that is very American. Would you disagree with that?
Yes, I'll explain why. It's a really good thought. Elvis, for example, he does have this decadent degeneracy, right? He was a drug user. I don't really necessarily have a crazy problem with the dance style or even the music itself. I listen to a lot of metal music, right? Mostly on my shows, I listen to classical, but I also listen to metal, which I would consider vastly white and Aryan. It's very important that we look at the cultural aspect of things, right? So if you look at rock and roll, the reason I would consider rock and roll actually a Jewish concept more than anything else is because it's Jewish promoted. If you look at the record companies that actually promote this or kind of prop this up, it's very Jewish. Just a really good example would be Kiss. I'm sure you're familiar with Kiss being entirely Jewish. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Well, the Paul and Gene, the business side, ironically, yeah, that's ironic.
Yeah, I mean they're super Jewish. So the head singer, Gene Simmons, his real name is Chaim Weizmann, right? And they promote all of this. It's degenerative, right? It's about for example, I want to rock and roll all night and party every day, right? It's this idea of just kind of having fun, pleasure seeking, right? This is the quote-unquote American dream, which if you watch the movie Hollywoodism, Jews admit that they invented the concept of the American dream, which is something I vehemently disagree with. It's the idea that pleasure is measured by how much fun you have in life or how much dopamine you can produce through an activity. That's the idea of what pleasure is, and it's not this higher sense of an inner joy that's not connected with this sensational form of pleasure that modern society holds. Which is, again, not culturally at all in line with us.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I guess, like, the hedonism, yes, that is seems to come from, like, the cosmopolitans, and then I guess if that spills over into the rock and roll, the context is a bit different. You know, it's maybe appealing to the same vices or something like that.
Right, just as an example here, again, sorry to cut you, but... It's not because, like, a Jew is singing it that I think it's Jewish. It's the spirit of it. It's the culture that's bound underneath it. Like when I say, like, oh, Elvis, is that music, that form of music is Jewish, I don't mean Elvis was a Jew or his writing was a Jew. I mean that spirit that's produced through that is Jewish, and that's why Jews promoted it. It's just like rap, for example. If we talk about rap, rap isn't black. Rap is Jewish, right? Because Jews they hold all the record labels. They won't let blacks produce albums unless they're promoting this degenerative, disgusting behavior. And that's what Jews will popularize through the media. That's what Jews promote, and that's what they want to happen. Meanwhile, there is some rap, if you look kind of in the early ages, and even if you look in kind of the underground sector today, that is a lot more actually cultured and that I would consider black rap, which has nothing to do with this degenerate, you know, twerking and throwing money around and talking about drugs. This is very Jewish, and Jews promote this because they know intrinsically that it will destroy society.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I would agree that the promotion, obviously the business side is notoriously, is, you know, I guess some rappers get themselves in a spot where they figure that out and then they maybe go off, maybe on record. But okay, now that's fascinating because I, maybe this is my other identity crisis where I'm Catholic. I don't want to do anything publicly that contradicts with my faith. And, you know, I really like heavy metal and I love American entertainment and I like kind of the 60s counterculture, not like the feminist black power stuff, but just the idea of young people kind of being in control of their own movement. You know, maybe some would argue it's a CIA psyop, maybe so. But, you know, you kind of had a culture that was, you know, more white relative to now in charge of music. And, you know, I think there is something interesting about that conceptually. I think that's very American, maybe harkens back to like a Renaissance era aesthetic, too. But yeah, I have a hard time explaining why is some of it Jewish and why is some of, you know, we usually have to deal with the black allegations, like, oh, this music came from black people. And so it becomes this political thing. But I think that's interesting the way you separate the business side of the music industry and then the authentic talent, which is white and, you know, probably descends from, I think somebody said bluegrass, among other things. Okay, that's fascinating. That's probably going to help me when I talk about this with other people, because I struggle with that. I don't really know what the how to explain the differences.
Yeah, well, it's hard to spot those differences, but if you'll notice, heavy metal, for example, which I listen to a great deal of heavy metal, really heavy stuff like death metal, heavy metal, regular metal. I very much like metal because it's culturally in tune. So some of the things that you can understand where the culture lies, look in the lyricism, right? In the lyricism, the things that are being expressed or stated, that is an expression of that culture, because music, like architecture, is an art, right? So although white people today might be building skyscrapers that are completely glass or these brutalist kind of cubic structures, it's Jewish in its essence, right? If you look in all of European history, we've always created these really fancy, intrinsically appealing, symmetrical kind of pieces, and now today we're promoting or we're building these things that are completely shit. So we might have good architects, but the it's almost like the framework that they're learning, right? Like if you go to school for architecture, you'll learn how to build like skyscrapers, right? So what you're learning is Jewish in spirit, but the builder themselves, they are not Jewish. They don't even have, they might not even have that Jewish spirit, but it's the only framework that they know to work through.
Well, I guess that kind of parallels with the reform versus revolution strategy. Is the whole industry co-opted, or is there hope for, you know, a kind of more WASPy, you know, Southern takeover of, you know, genres good getting out of modernity or some of this, you know, Hollywood stuff. That's interesting. Yeah, maybe there's kind of a struggle there that people don't realize. Oh, I see someone's asking about the Hays Code. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Is it, who's Christopher? Is that you?
I'm sorry. He's in the private chat.
Sorry, I didn't mean to dox, by the way. I guess I should have.
No, you're fine. He was just the last speaker on Speak Free Radio that called in.
Okay. Yeah, no, gosh, maybe this isn't a good person to cite, but I know Polya kind of defends, even though she's kind of an atheist type, the idea that the golden age of Hollywood was under strict Catholic rule, and that's when you get all the great movies. Yeah, I mean, maybe you would disagree with that. Maybe there's some political stuff to be said there. But yeah, maybe a similar attitude can be applied to the music industry where, I support kind of this very chaotic music, but I don't really see it as degenerate. I don't see it as subversive, like it's corrupting minds. Like, I don't want people to do sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Like, I see it as a strictly musical chaos separate from a political chaos. You know, I don't know if that's fair to say.
I understand your point. And here's the worry is that what you hear in music, right, is what you are thinking, because it gets stuck in your head. Music is catchy for a reason. It gets stuck in your head, and then that's what you're thinking, and what you think is what you will act. So this is why you see in black culture, quote unquote, and I don't really even define this as black culture, as I've stated, when we look at this rap culture, it's very Jewish. But if we look at this quote unquote black culture of today, you have 4-year-old black children walking around with guns, aiming them at people and you know, joking. They're laughing at the kid and recording it. And the kid's like, give me money, right? But it just shows how much that music is seeding into the culture. Music is, it formulates that culture. It's the same if you look all the way back in Europe, in the, you know, the classical era, when classical music was a big thing. No one was doing these kind of degenerate acts or behaviors. It wasn't popular because the music, the culture that was heavily promoted in the quote-unquote mainstream of the time was very cultured. So therefore, you acted of the culture. And this is the hard thing to kind of differentiate with this is people like you or myself or my audience here today, we are above that unthinking mass that will blindly follow the culture, right? We are people who are looking for something higher for ourselves, and we're questioning the world around us. It's why we recognize the Jewish influence within things. So the problem is there always is, if you look all throughout history, I mean, Hitler describes this, Jesus Christ describes this, Socrates describes this, Nietzsche describes this, every great thinker in history describes this, but there always is going to be that unthinking mass. Jesus called them the herd. Socrates called them drones. Hitler called them the lukewarm. But there's always going to be that unthinking mass that needs society to guide them in the appropriate direction. And if society is guiding them degenerately, they will become degenerate in spirit. It's not their fault. They're doing this subconsciously. So we need to consciously uplift them, or even subconsciously uplift them to better behaviors.
Interesting. I guess some would push back against us because of, you know, maybe someone like E. Michael Jones might be critical of heavy metal because of some of the aesthetics and some of the, you know, from a religious perspective, I understand. But, you know, maybe there is potential for reform with some. I mean, I don't know if you keep up with how the metal scene is now, but, you know, leaning into some cliches and, you know, just it's just a completely different scene than it was like when my dad was growing up. And I don't know, maybe I'm kind of more interested in the aesthetic history of America, where music scenes, even if they were pop and commercial, there did seem to be some artistic expression there that's salvageable for any generation. And I don't know, some people like to cite that Evola essay, Negrified America, you know, effectively Americans were never going to make it because they always liked black music, whether it was blues or jazz or... Of course, they would get rap music, and all these subcultures would become take over their country because it was there since they had slaves. You know, they could never escape their own history. And I don't know if you're that cynical about it. I try to not be, but I have a hard time arguing against that thesis because blues and jazz do have a very racial side to them. So I don't know if you would separate that two, or if you would disagree with Evola.
No, I'm not as cynical in that regard. I would actually like to point you specifically to a music video. If you look up Frankie Limon, it's F-R-A-N-K-I-E space L-Y-M-O-N. There might be an E at the end of his name, his last name. Little Bitty Pretty Ones. He did this was the first time a black man ever went on stage to sing blues music. If you look at the crowd... The crowd is literally disgusted by seeing this black person come on stage and singing music to them. And eventually, through enough normalization of this, through that normalization process, which is described in through communism, or Yuri Bezmenov kind of put that out very well in his lectures, they have normalized that behavior so that whites don't even see this as something foreign to them anymore. So they might have seen it as foreign back when it was blues and jazz. They might have looked at it like, oh, it's, you know, this is kind of black people music. It might be okay and catchy, and I'll listen to it from time to time, but it's not my music, right? Then when we come to the modern age, a really good example of how they did this, and if you look, his publicist and his lawyer in the very early stages of his music career, Eminem, both of them were Jewish, and they propped Eminem up to normalize black, or again, I don't like to call it black, but this rap culture, which is Jewish in essence and perpetrated through blacks, they propped this up through Eminem to normalize it towards white people. I have biological parents who both listen to this garbage, which is, it started out as being kind of anti-system and revolutionary, right, to appeal to that younger crowd. And then Eminem started to kind of formulate away from that. But it was always holding this degenerate atmosphere, right? Using drugs, promoting violence, promoting, you know, unwedded sex, all anti-Christian or anti-white values, in essence, against our framework of morality, to normalize into our people those behaviors and make them feel that that is acceptable.
No, there does seem to be a deliberate effort to prop up, like I said, subcultures that obviously don't seem to have longevity. A lot of modern music doesn't have that kind of timeless quality that, you know, from a bygone era in American history. And yeah, you know, there's a racial side to that probably. And then there's all this promotion where it's everywhere. And it seems like the people that aren't interested in music on that, like, that higher level, that they seem to have control over, like, most of it, rather than people who are more like intellectually curious. So I don't know, maybe that's like an individualism within the American population, just kind of trying to grab for power. But I think when it comes to rap, we would probably agree a lot of that does seem to be astroturfed. And I don't know, would you agree with that statistic that, like, what was it, most people in the suburbs, white kids seem to outnumber the black people listening to rap? I know that seems to get thrown out there as like a, did you know that? But I don't know if that's true or not.
I think in the modern sense, there's certainly a chance. I don't think it's more of them listen. I think if we're stating that more of them listen to it, it's just because simply they're higher in population. I just think it's become so normal or commonplace amongst modern society to listen to rap in this younger generation that everyone is listening to it, and whites just happen to be a little more commonly represented in the numerical sense or the demographic sense. Therefore, they're present in that category. Just really quickly, Ozark Waffen with a $25 investment. Thank you very much, brother. Guys, can we get the Romans up for Ozark Waffen? He says, "Hello, Ace." Thank you, Ozark, very much.
And, yeah, someone's asked. Oh, sorry,
Just really quickly, don't forget, guys, if we fill this bar up on this week-long marathon, I will be doing a 12-hour marathon stream next week. If we fill the bar on the bottom left corner of the screen, or bottom right for you guys. Go ahead, Ace.
Yeah, just someone in the comments is asking, you know, I believe in Jared Taylor and Sam Francis and all the race realism stuff. I think we agree on a lot of racial stuff. I'm Catholic, so I see religious identity as more important than racial. Obviously, we, you know, there's a long dialogue to be had there, but if he's asking where's the disparity here, you know, I acknowledge that biology is, you know, behind a lot of modern problems, but I agree that America should be what it was, and you know, I'm not the type of person that wants, like, lots of Mexicans to come in because they are Catholic. I don't agree with that kind of political stance in terms of policy. But as far as the difference, my religious identity in general, I think, is salient. E. Michael Jones kind of talks about the triple melting pot thesis, which I think it's misrepresented in a lot of circles. I think there's different identities that are salient at different times. Some white people may identify as Irish rather than white, or Scottish rather than, you know, this broad white label. So I think that's what he was getting at. And a lot of people use it to say, oh, so you're just like liberals who don't believe in race. I'm not saying that. I think there's a lot of confusion because these are big topics and there's nuance. So just to come across as why we would probably disagree. It's probably the religious angle.
Yeah, it's again the only angle I think that there is a large disagreement on both sides in, one that can definitely be further discussed and we can come to some kind of a conclusion, at least as to why we have that ideological disagreement, and I'd be more than comfortable to have a discussion with you in the future. I actually have 10 minutes left on the show, so I would like to close up this call so I can do a little bit of an outro. I'm on a time frame for my Tuesday shows. But I want to thank you, Ace, for coming in and calling, and you brought up some really good discussions, and I think there's a lot to be said about these kind of conversations, and much more to be done in this regard to kind of better framework how we move forward for both factions, so to speak.
Yeah, no. Thank you again, Zach, for bringing me on. If people are curious, if they look up Thomas777 on YouTube, I've done a couple interviews with him, and we talk about politics, entertainment. Maybe your audience would be interested. Thomas777, Loud Sound Epicenter. Just type that into YouTube. And I try to have conversations like this with him, and he's more of like a Tom Metzger type. So maybe you guys would be curious about that. But thank you again, Zach. Seriously.
Yeah, no problem, Ace. I don't know if you have any concluding statements, but if you just want to maybe give the audience your Twitter, I know you, you're very functional on Twitter, where they can kind of check out the things that you do. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe I don't have an Odyssey account, so it's Ace Writer CA. Maybe you could put that in chat, or if people want to replay this. Ace Writer CA on Twitter. I do a lot of off-the-cuff Twitter spaces about pop culture and, I guess, art criticism, you could say. And I'm a Groiper, but I like to talk to everybody. People that tend to get me into trouble, but I'll take the trade-off. And then Thomas777, if those know him, we've met before in real life. We're probably going to be doing content more in the future. So I thank you, Zach, for the opportunity.
Yeah, of course, brother. I just put your Twitter in all my chats. So if anybody wants to follow you guys, you can go ahead and do that. Thank you, Ace. I'm going to drop you down. I have to outro my show and do a little bit of talking with my chat. But thank you again for calling in. I greatly appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Have a good evening. Okay, folks. And by the way, Christopher, I'm sorry. I saw that private chat extremely late. I just saw it at the end of that discussion with Ace. It's my first call-in show. I don't know how comfortable I am with putting more than one caller on at a time. Once I get a little more comfortable with call-in shows, I might do that. Just want to kind of keep it to one for now so I can keep that intellectual discussion kind of just in one little framework. Nothing against you, not that I didn't want to have you up, but I do apologize for that. I don't want you to feel like you were kind of ignored or I was disengaging with you. I want to say thank you to everybody who did call in. We had four callers today. It was the first call-in stream. George, thank you again. You had some really nice points. Aquarius, Christopher and Ace, thank you all. It was a really good discussion. And I had a lot of fun doing the call-ins for the first time. It was really, it went fast, too. It was really, really fast. Lebensraum with a 1488, the most based investment of the night. Guys, can we get the Romans in the chat for Lebensraum? He says, why is beyond your years, Zach? /. Thank you, my friend. Romans up for him. Thank you, brother. I really, really appreciate not only the investment, but the very kind words. I greatly appreciate that. Again, I just want to promote one more time, guys. This bar right here, it's so hard to do on the camera. This bar right here, if we fill this bar by the end of the week, the bar will get shorter every time. Just so you guys know, the goal was set at 500 for the week. Now it's set at 410. It'll go lower each show because I can't keep the bar consistent, unfortunately. But if we fill this bar by the end of the week, I will do a 12-hour marathon stream next week. We'll pick the day depending on kind of how my schedule is looking. And it's going to be kind of more in-depth than the last 12-hour marathon that we did. I'll go even deeper on some subjects, and it'll be just as organized as the last one was. If you do want to support the channel and you want to help towards that goal, you can do so in the description of both GTV and Odyssey. There are links to everything down there. You can do Entropy, which will give you a live alert chat right here. You can do Odyssey, which will go just straight through Odyssey, and it comes up as a super chat, so I can read it on the super chat. And you can also do cryptocurrencies. We have all the crypto wallets as well. And if you do support through crypto, I will make sure to factor it into the bar down here as well. Mariner with a $5 investment. Thank you, brother. He says, I would have hopped on if my mic worked. You truly are calm and intelligent man. Thank you, brother. I'm very humbled to hear that very kind statement. Let's get the Romans in the chat for Mariner for yet again another very kind compliment and very kind investment towards my work. I do greatly appreciate that. And maybe next time with a $3 investment says 14. That's the 14 words. Thank you, brother. Let's get the Romans in the chat for it. Maybe next time. Thank you very much, my friend. And Chain Reaction, it's the first time I've ever seen a Chain Reaction here with a $3 investment. He says, not for the wisdom, just for the perfectly pressed shirt. Oh, come on. That's not perfectly pressed, dude. I mean, it's been ironed, but okay, maybe it's okay. It's I ironed it. It's been ironed, so it's not bad. It's it's not great either, though. Thank you, brother. That's a very good reason for investing. Very cultured reason. Let's get the massive Romans in chat for chain reaction. I don't even care about the amount. That's a very cultured reason. I very much appreciate that reason. We need more people dressing the part, right? Professionalism is key in here. We were speaking with Christopher earlier on the call. He was talking about reinstilling culture in our people. Part of our culture is dressing nice. Folks, why do we dress nice? What's the reason? What's the reason that we dress nice, guys? Why do we take the time to dress nice? It's a symbol of humility. We are appreciative of the circumstance that we're in. We're appreciative of the things we have, like cloth and colored dyes that can color our clothing. We are appreciative of all of these things. Therefore, we wear them in the most professional fashion that we see fit. It's not easy to dress up every day, but it's the cultured thing to do. And that's the sign of, I think, a more cultured individual is how well they dress. $5 investment from Kermie. Thank you, sir. He says, didn't know you were a metal man. Hail metal. True European spirit, as you said. Thank you, brother. I greatly appreciate that. Can we get the Romans in the chat for Kermie as well? Yeah, metal music is very cultured. If you look at the lyricism of a lot of these heavy metal, death metal bands, very cultured stuff. You have to pick your bands wisely. There are also those bands that have a lot of satanic symbolism and talk about, you know, nonsense like spilling guts and gore and stuff like that. Maybe Slayer would be like an example of that. I can't think of any others off the top of my head, but a lot of metal bands do promote that kind of just disgusting, like, violent, abhorrent, like gore stuff. I'm not a fan of that. I listen to very cultured metal music. I don't talk about it very often, but most of the bands I listen to, if you read their lyrics, it all discusses culture, reestablishing culture, talking about the problems that we have today. A lot of Latin bands, all kinds of different things, kind of pushing that cultural symbolism all over the place. Crystal with a $25 investment. Guys, can we get the Romans in the chat for Crystal? Thank you very much. It's the tied for the highest investment of the evening. She says, thank you, Zach. Great show as always. Thank you, Crystal, very much for the support. Kindly appreciate both the support and the comments. You've been extremely supportive of the show, Crystal. I greatly appreciate that. Do not forget, guys, today, if you are in the book club, is the final day to get the book reports in. Make sure you get those in. We'll be starting on the Guido von List works tomorrow. Starting up in May. If you guys want to join the book club, you just do so through Telegram. Message me privately on Telegram, Twitter, Gab, wherever you would like. Reach out to me and say, hey, Zach, I'm interested in joining the book club. I'd love to have you. It's free to do, and it's going to give yourself better peace of mind, more culture, and more understanding of the circumstance that we are in. So please take the time. It's for the betterment of you, not for me. Okay, I don't gain anything from organizing this book club. I mean, there's a sense of community, certainly, that I gain from this, which is very appreciative, I am very appreciative of. However, on a material level or a spiritual level, I don't necessarily gain anything from hosting this book club. In fact, I lose things. It costs me a lot of time. It costs me a lot of my own effort. I've read all these books on my own. I'm rereading them specifically for the book club to give you guys that sense of community. This isn't for me. I just want to clarify that this is for you. This helps you. So you, as the watcher, the audience, if you take the time to join this book club, read these books, you will benefit. Not me. I won't benefit at all. I might benefit from your discussion about them or reading your report of them, but you benefit from the actual reading of them. And that's the whole reason I'm doing this. So please do that. It's for the betterment of yourself and your community collectively. It's definitely just something that's worth doing. All right, folks, we are at the two-hour mark. We're getting ready to close out for the evening. This was a very good show. Thank you again for all the people who called in. Thank you very kindly for everybody who supported the show and helps me continue this work further. Speaking of which, just so we are talking about where the investments go, I have a new microphone coming in very shortly. This microphone will be much better, a little more better sound quality, and I won't be wearing a headset all the time, so it'll be better on my neck, and I can kind of stand streaming for a little bit longer. 40 Ounce, if you want to join the book club, just message me privately on Telegram, email me at logosrevealed88@gmail.com, or contact me on Gab or Twitter, all privately, and I will send you the private link to the book club. We are strict on participation. That's the only one thing that is required. Alrighty, thank you guys so much for watching. We're hitting that two-hour mark. I got to get going. Roman's in the chat, everybody. Wonderful show. Thank you all for all the investments and allowing me to keep this work going. Thank you guys for the activity in the chat room today. And thank you very much for all the people that came in and did a call in. I really appreciate that. It helped kind of stimulate conversation for this. Thank you, folks. I'm going to throw you guys some classical music to outro for the last 2 minutes. And I will see you guys tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern. Okay? Have a wonderful evening. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We'll be joined tomorrow with Tonitris and Euroweapon. Good night.